exteriors. When I agreed to do this back in probably February, Jack Panaleo and I were going to coordinate the Sunday morning service together. Unfortunately, Jack became quite ill in the last week or 10 days with pancreatitis, and he could not be here this morning. The service isn't quite the way we laid it out, but I'm sure that it will be a blessing. As many of you are also aware, I did not know at the time that I wrote this message that I was going to be diagnosed with a brain tumor on just before Memorial Day. And subsequent to that, about a week later, the medical oncologist met with my four children and I, and we asked about the prognosis, and he said, well, probably 3 months. Maybe average 7 to 15 months. On the outside limits, 2 years. A miracle would be longer than that. But I believe in miracles. There are so many people praying for me. I swear, I heard God a couple of weeks ago say, good grief, just let her live! Has always been a haven of hope. It's always been a forum for love. But what I want to talk about this morning, I want to talk about faith. An invitation to action. EC, in my opinion, has provided the elements of faith that I would like to extract from the acronym FAITH, F-A-I-T-H. I submit to you that faith is an invitation to fellowship, acceptance, intimacy, trust, and healing. I also submit to you that this invitation requires an RSVP. First, what is faith? The Bible says faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. The story is told of a small girl who became lost during a family hike. And obviously her family was searching frantically for her. And someone spotted her in a meadow, sitting on a log. Not wanting to frighten her, he approached her softly and quietly, and overheard her saying, A, B, C, D, E, F, G. And so he approached her quietly and said, Hi, honey, what you doing? She said, Well, I think I'm lost, and I didn't know how to pray. So I thought I'd just go through the alphabet and let God put the letters together the way he wants to. Now I think that is a good example of faith. A couple of months ago, Dave Bishop, who's here today, called me to let me know that he had joined the ranks of those struggling with cancer. Just before his phone call, I had been with my three-year-old grandson, who was taking swimming lessons, and they were trying to teach him how to float on his back. And I don't know if you remember trying to do that as a young child, but it's kind of like our faith. We're always trying to help God out. You know, you think, oh, I can wiggle my legs and I can flap my arms and I can help out here. When really all God wants us to do is lay back, look up, and trust God's promises to hold us up. And some days, trust me, that is all the energy some of us have. How do we get faith? Well, the Bible says faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So a natural conclusion would be, if we don't know or read God's Word, how do we develop faith? If we don't know, and we don't read, and we don't hear God's Word, how do we develop or nurture this faith? One of the strategies I've used in the past year is I always use a Bible verse for my password on my workplace internet account. And a lot of the verses I'm going to use today are verses that I've used for the last 9 months because I wanted to remember the reference. Hebrews 11:6. Malachi 3:10. Malachi 3:11. Proverbs 3:5 and 6. I recall the night I invited Christ into my life. It wasn't some great emotional experience based on some ethereal, an angel touched me. It was based on the fact that finally, after I had been to the altar many times in a Pentecostal church praying that I could find faith, someone sat down with me and shared with me the verse that says, "For God is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness." God said it. I believed it. And that changed my life. I recall the time I was in nursing school and I was sent off to a psychiatric institution to do my rotation in psychiatric nursing. I was 19 years old. I was quite frightened when I heard the screaming of the patients, you know, all around the grounds. So I read this. David said, "I sought the Lord and he heard me and delivered me from all my fears. So I sought the Lord, and he heard me, and he delivered me from all my fears." And that verse is still true today, regardless of what happens to me in the next 3 months, 9 months, year, 5 years. I will continue to seek the Lord, and he will hear me, and deliver me from all my fears. And the reason I know that is because it's never failed me in the past. God says it, I believe it. God is always on KP duty. God always keeps his promises. Always. Do we want to please God? There's a very strong message in Hebrews that says, without faith, it is impossible to please God. Impossible. Do you want to please God? What would that look like? How does God display himself within, how does faith display itself within God's heart and within the community of evangelicals concerned? First, I believe F is the invitation to fellowship. And if you have not found fellowship in the last 2, 3, 4 days, you've missed the boat. Fellowship is basically two or more fellows in a boat. Several months ago, my oldest son was getting his certificate as a river rafting guide. And so he invited myself, my two daughters, his sisters, and several others to go along on graduation day. Along with three other friends and an experienced guide, my son navigated our trip down the Skokomish River. The first thing he did was ask each one of us which side was our stronger physical side. For example, I have some weakness on my left side. And so he put me on the right side of the boat where I could row more strongly. He did that with all of us. He placed us in the boat so to balance our rowing. At times he would shout, "Right forward, left back, all hard forward." When we came near a large rock, he shouted, "Shift left," and all the rafters would shift to the left so that when we hit the rock, the boat wouldn't capsize. Our survival was dependent upon each other. Fellowship implies that we have the opportunity to share our ingenuity, our creativity, our trust and belief in each other, our vulnerability to expose our weaknesses, and our opportunities to exercise our strengths. Fellowship reflects our willingness to row in the same direction, trust in a guide to keep us safe, and work together to retrieve a fellow rafter from the water if someone gets tossed out. The occupants of the boat never leave the boat without rescuing a fellow passenger. Faith is an invitation to a special kind of fellowship. Fellowship for me right now is knowing that when I am too tired to pray, too weary to talk, the faith of my family, my friends, and my colleagues keeps me believing that miracles occur, that God can indeed heal all my diseases.
Right.
Fellowship is receiving flowers on a day when it was all I could do to walk to the door to pick them up from the person delivering. Fellowship is a kind note from Dan Jackson, okay, saying we're glad you're here. Fellowship comes in many ways. It comes in Susan coming and telling me this morning, just meant a lot that you came to talk to me last year, that you came to listen to me. Fellowship comes through listening, through sharing, through tears, through joy. So F stands for fellowship. A stands for acceptance. EC's mission statement tells them it's welcome to all who come. Why, we even accept heterosexuals. Jesus says, come unto me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Jesus says, he or she who comes to me, I will in no way cast out. No one, no way. This is Jesus. Some of our churches are this way. But Jesus is never that way. Jesus is always. Amen. This is the invitation to come. Jesus says, I knock at the door. I knock at the door. If anyone opens that door, I will come into him or her and sup with them. There's no doorknob on God's side. The doorknob's on our side. We are asked to accept an invitation, and that invitation to acceptance requires action on our part. There has to be movement on our part. I reflect an invitation to intimacy. For 13 years, I was married to a man. I bore 4 children with him, but I never felt a nanosecond of intimacy. It was only with another woman that I could truly say I loved another as I loved my own soul. I feel more intimacy with many of you in this room than I ever felt with my husband. He never touched my soul as you have. He did not see nor tend to my wounds as you have. He did not listen with his heart. Come to think of it, I don't think he even listened with his ears. Recently, my 4-year-old granddaughter, Emily, was doing a dry run at my house. I had offered, this is before I had a brain tumor, and now they can't trust me to babysit, but she was doing this little dry run because I had offered to keep the kids for a night while my daughter went on an overnight date with her husband. And so during this dry run, she came to the door. She gave me a lovely card when she came in the door to tell me how much she loved her grandma. So I put it on the refrigerator so everybody could see it. But at about 9:30, her 3-year-old brother had already gone to sleep. She looked at me with the eyes of a 4-year-old and said, Grandma, I need to go home. My mommy will miss me. I looked at her and said, but Emily, if you go home, I'll miss you. She replied, Grandma, I brought you a card, and you can just look at it so you won't miss me. Then I laid her on my lap, and I asked, but honey, you can see Mommy tomorrow. What is it you miss about her tonight? She wrapped her arms around my neck and looked me straight in the eye and said, I miss her hugs, her kisses, her love, and her heart. Even a 4-year-old understands intimacy.
Yes.
Jesus asks us to join him for an intimate dinner. If you have not already done so, will you accept the invitation? The promise is there. The action on our part is the action of faith. God says, anyone, anytime. Tea represents an invitation to trust. In Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, it says, "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge God, and he shall direct your paths. Don't be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil." And I'm sure any of you who knows me knew that you weren't going to get out of here without me talking about tithing, because right below this verse it says, "Honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of all thine increase. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine." And in Malachi, God actually dares us. A friend of mine used to call this a double dog dare. I double dog dare you to do this. God says, "You bring the first fruits, and I'll pour out a blessing so that you will not be able to contain it." And recently, I sent some money to Mel White. I support his ministry, not physically, like Mike Perez does, but financially, I like to support his ministry. He sent me this message back saying, "Geez, Jan, I hope this doesn't put you in a bind." And I wrote back and said, "No." And then I was thinking on the airplane, I'm in a real bind now. Because all these blessings are going to come back my way, and I don't have room to hold them. Recently, my children and I sat down with an estate planner. And as incredible as it may seem, they're trying to figure out how to get rid of my assets. Why don't I pay taxes? And I'm like, I'm just a poor nurse who raised four kids on her own and didn't have a lot, but I've never, ever, it's never failed me that when God has said, "I dare you," and I said, "I'll take you up on that dare," and God doesn't say, "I'm going to pour out the blessings and then you go give the first fruits." Folks, it doesn't work that way. God says, "You give the first fruits, and I'll pour you out a blessing." And I challenge you. I pour you out a blessing. I told Ron, dead or alive, the 10,000 challenge stands. And my children know that. And I'll tell you why. I'll tell you what EC, I've been coming to EC since 1981. And when I first came to EC, for those of you who remember, Sheila, Jack, some of the others, I was broken. I had a broken heart. In many ways, I was broken in spirit. I hadn't accepted myself for who I was, for the beautiful person that I was. I didn't even see the beautiful person that I was. Just like I can look out here and I can see the beautiful people who sit in front of me. Put a mirror up in front of you and look at the beautiful person that you are. In 1994, I was working at a hospital in Everett, Washington. There were two hospitals that merged. And I applied for a little bit higher level position, and I did not get that job because I believe, and the people who knew what happened believe, because I had come out as a lesbian. And I think it frightened the dickens out of my boss, who was a very closeted lesbian. Probably didn't even recognize that about herself. And I left her office, and I went down to my son's office, who was actually working in the IT department, the information technology department. I put my arms around him, I shed a few tears, and I said, "I hope I didn't disappoint you." And a couple hours later, he wrote me this email. And this email would never, ever have been written if EC had not offered me a place where I could be accepted, I could find intimacy, I could have fellowship, I could learn that trust pays off, and I could be healed, which is what the age stands for. And this is what my son wrote. This is a 24-year-old young man. After I said, "I hope you're not disappointed in me," he writes, "There are very few people in this world that I would say I was proud of. Perhaps all of them are family, and I think that says something for you as well as for them. I'm proud of Aunt Jacy and what she has accomplished, both as a mother and a professional. I'm proud of both of my sisters. I would not have chosen their paths, but I think that they are both well ahead of their peers. I am proud of my wife, who has accomplished so much against great odds and truly embodies the cartoon behind me, 'Don't ever give up.' But of all the people I know, I am most proud of you. You sacrificed much of your life in the early years of your four children, and in doing so, set yourself apart from what a normal mother does. You managed to excel in your field while bringing up these children alone, allowing each one to grow in his or her own way, and always encouraging each of us to do our best and telling us that we are special. Most importantly, though, through your honesty with yourself, you taught those around you that self-esteem is a result of being yourself and never to hide your identity to gain others' approval. The decision to grant someone else the position you desired was not a mistake. Call it God or the is or whatever. I truly believe that you are being guided in your life right now for a future that you need instead of what you think you want. Lessons to be learned. You are a genuine and good person. Perhaps positive is a much better word. You make things happen, and you are a source of energy for others rather than a drain on energy. That's a testimony to your strength as well as your wisdom and willingness to help others. When your life in this reality as we know it is over, these are the things that will have mattered, not the positions you held in life. It's not your job that brings me pride. It's who you are and what you've done, both for yourself and for others. And I don't read this to sound like a hero, folks. I read this to say thank you to EC, because I could never, ever have become this person without many, many, many of the people in this room who never stopped believing in me, who gave me a place where I could have ministry, where I could write and sing music even though I'm not a professional musician, who helped me write a book that has made a real impact on a lot of people. The title of the book is When Love Has No Arms. In Matthew 25, 14 to 29, Jesus discusses the parable of the talents. You may remember that a man was leaving for a far country and called his servants. To one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, to another 1, every one according to his ability. And then he left. The one to whom he gave 5 went out and invested in the stock market and made 100%. The one to whom he gave 2 talents invested in a mutual fund and he made another $2. But the one to whom he gave $1 buried his stock in the ground. After a while, the man returned from the far country and called them to report their investments. And to the first 2 he said, well done, thou good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a few things. I will make you a ruler over many things. But the one with the 1 talent alleged that he had been afraid, so he buried his talent. Because of fear and unbelief, his $1 was taken away and given to the man with 5 talents. The world, through evangelicals' concern and other avenues, gives us the opportunity to give back. Faith may be taking God at his word, but remember, faith without works is dead. Dead. The story is told of a chaplain who came upon a wounded soldier in battle. He asked the young man if he would like the chaplain to read from his Bible. Soldier declined, but asked if the chaplain would give him a drink of water. Chaplain made sure his thirst was quenched and asked again if the young man would like him to read from the scriptures. The young man declined, but asked if the chaplain could give him a pillow for his head. The chaplain gave him a pillow and asked again if the soldier would like him to read from the scriptures. For a 3rd time, the soldier declined and quietly asked the chaplain if he would give him a blanket to warm him. The chaplain removed his coat, covered the soldier, and stayed with him until he was warm. The chaplain then turned to leave, afraid to ask the soldier if he could read from the scriptures again. As he departed, the soldier quietly summoned him back. Sir, he said, would you please read to me from your book? If reading from the book is why you gave me a drink, provided a pillow, or warmed me with your coat, then I want to know what's in your book. As Edgar Guest so aptly wrote, I'd rather see a sermon than hear one anyway. Faith without works is dead. I'm a nurse. I'm an ER nurse. I've seen a lot of dead people. Trust me, when they're dead, they're dead. There's no emotion. There's no physical activity. There's no longer a need for fellowship, intimacy, acceptance, trusting. If your faith reflects no activity in relationship to your tithe, your time, or your talent, your faith is dead. If you were on trial today, would a jury convict you of having faith? Would they convict you of being a Christian? Could they convict you of honoring God with your time, your talent, your tithe? Finally, H is an invitation to healing. Jesus says the thief comes to kill and steal and destroy, but I am come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. For how many years did many of us feel fragmented, compartmentalized, broken, lonely, dysfunctional, disenfranchised, alienated, separated? The Holy Spirit comes alongside, comforts, encourages, fills, overfills, enlightens, guides, resurrects, frees, reveals, intercedes, and ministers to us. God is the one who heals us of all our diseases. And for some of us, the most horrible disease of all has been a lack of faith. God welcomes you into fellowship. God accepts you just as you are. God cares about the intimate part of you who hungers for love, fellowship, companionship. And God gives that to you through others in this room who can be the face of God to you. Hugs, kisses, love, hugs. As part of your faith, however, God also challenges you to work out your faith through trusting God's promises. God wants to heal you so completely that you have abundant life. God promises abundant life. I'd like to end with Princess Jan's version of the 23rd Psalm. That's versus King James. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. I shall not want anything less. I shall not want anything more. I shall not want anything else. She makes me to lie down in lush green fields. She leads me beside the still calm waters. She fills my every longing, heals my every wound, restores my very soul. God, the one who invites me to come, leads me in the paths of right living for the sake of Jesus, my Savior, my friend, who promises never to leave, never ever to forsake, the one who holds the key to my heart and happiness and is the lifetime lover of my soul. Yea, though I have walked through the valley of the shadow of death, I have no reason to be afraid, because God was with me. The crook of his staff kept me close, and the rod of his guidance and encouragement comforted me. God, the one who awaits my response to his knock at the door, has prepared an intimate dinner with me in the presence of my enemies, those who condemned me, rejected me, cursed me, hated me, and hurt me. The God I know in the depths of my soul has accepted me just the way I am. Each day of my life, an angel of God anoints my head with the oil of joy and my heart with the touch of love. My cup is full and running over, so much so that my heart bursts into song. Because I've accepted God's invitation to fellowship, acceptance, intimacy, trust, and healing. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord. Thank you.